Welcome to the Victory Lane podcast for the week of October 12th. We're going to pick up again tonight with Doc Bundy and Ed Kowalczyk and a little story about what it's like to run at Le Mans. We're going to reintroduce the cast of characters and we'll jump right in where we left off last week. I have with me this afternoon Doc Bundy, who will be familiar obviously to listeners of this podcast, and Ed Kowalczyk. Doc is originally from Ohio, began racing in a Porsche with Hulbert, captured a national championship as a rookie in the early 80s. He's been to Le Mans five times. That includes a win in the GTO class, and he captured the IMSA Bridgestone Supercar Championship for Lotus. He's successfully raced Jaguar, Ford, Panos, and Corvette, along with the Lotus and Porsche. He's worked as a TV announcer, a race instructor, and of course, we all know him as a fierce competitor in vintage events where we're used to seeing that beautiful Lotus 23 up at the front of the pack. Ed is a regular contributor to Victory Lane magazine. He grew up in New York near the Watkins Glen International. He was a master technician and prepared race cars to race there. He's raced open-wheel formula cars and worked as a columnist in the automotive industry for over 26 years. Hey, Doc.
I was an honorary unser at one time.
An honorary unser. Tell us a little bit about...
Yeah, I did a 24-hour race at Mid-Ohio in a Corvette, and it was Bobby Unser, Al Jr., and me. So they called me Doc Unser.
Doc Unser. Tell us a little bit about running at Le Mans. What's that like?
Well, the first time was my best time ever. I never got back to even finishing the race after that. And we finished with a blown head gasket. That's another long story. All the things that happened. But I'll try and break it down just to the highlights. We finished, it was Jim Busby and I. I think it was Francois, you know, I've forgotten the French driver. He was a head instructor at the school at Le Mans. He knew everybody from the ACO. And because the engine and the 924 turbo blew on him in night practice. See, he'd raced Le Mans many times in Porsches. And so he knew the track. He didn't need to practice during the day or any of that. He just needed to put his four night laps in. Well, it broke like on the second lap or something like that, stranding him out on the racetrack somewhere. So he didn't get enough night laps in. So they, and Busby, back then you could get in a team car. Busby got in a team car just in case they might need, just to familiarize himself with the car. So he ran in that night session, which was also a qualifying session. So on Friday, they came out with the list, and my car was eliminated. Not because of time, because I was the only driver, they said. So BF Goodrich and Porsche went to them, and they had a long-ass meeting. And finally, they said, no, Jim Busby just practiced in that other car. And they said, well, he qualified it. And they said, no, it was already qualified from the first night. And so they went through this whole thing, and finally they gave in. So we had to start dead last. And we just kept going. And Sunday, we found ourselves in the lead of the class by 20 laps or something like that, over Billy Hagen and Terry Labonte, and I don't know who else was in the car, in a Camaro. But they kept breaking their transmission. And you can't change the transmission at Le Mans that you can rebuild it. So that's what they do. They'd pass us, you know, three or four times, and then they'd be gone. They'd be in the pits rebuilding the transmission again. And so they'd catch up, and then they'd fall back. They'd catch up, and they'd fall back. And on Sunday, sometime early Sunday afternoon, the head went, blew a head gasket. So they come in, and they said, you know, your turn, get in the car, Doc. So I said, what are we going to do? They said, take all the boost out. We're going to fill it with water and bars leak and do one lap and come back in. I said, okay. So I did that, come back in. And then eventually what we were able to do was we're able to make it last two laps. So two laps, we dive back into the pit, get water and bars leak and go again. And this is what we did Sunday afternoon. I don't know how many hours, but we did that. And we won. We won our class. And it was quite an experience. An unbelievable experience. The crowd afterwards, we couldn't even get up to start finish, right? Because the crowd was coming at us as we came out of the last corner. So we turned the whole field to the right, and then we waited in line one at a time. They put us in this impound, and it was just people everywhere. I mean, you couldn't see anything, but the gendarmes would get the people out of the way, and you could drive in. When we get up there, they open this little gate, and they wave me, and I go in there, and I'm scared to death. I'm talking to the team on the radio saying, come here, come here, come up here. I don't know where I am, but come here. Ask somebody where impound is. Because all I see is people. And it's before the building, you know, the pits, the actual pits. I said, they turned us to the right. So they said, all right, we're coming. And they were, so these people are like just packed. And they're pounding on the car and all this. And I'm afraid to get out of the car because I figure they're going to steal everything. Because it's fans. So finally, the crew shows up. So I get out of the car, and so we're talking, and now all the cars are into impound now. And they says, oh, we got to get the Victory Circle because you got to go up on the stand doing gym. And I said, okay. Well, we got to go this way because we got to go out the gate. They said, what gate? And I look around, and this fence is like this big oval that all the cars are parked in, has a fence around it about 2 feet high. And all the people were expected to stay out of the impound by a 2 foot fence. I couldn't believe it. It was wild.
Wow.
But the wildest thing.
Porsche won that year.
Yes, Al did.
Yeah.
He was in the 956, I think it was the 956.
Yeah, 956, that's what it was. I just looked it up that quick.
Well, when I got back to the States, I said that because I'm driving for Al. I'm driving with Trans Am at the time. And I said, we were testing. We went up to Road America to test his Can-Am car and me in the Trans Am car. We're doing a test day up there. And I said to him, we're sitting talking, and I said, do you remember Lamar? And he says, yeah, sure. And I said, I had the weirdest experience. And he says, but I'm telling him this corner after Indy, you get down and there's a sharp right-hand corner. And I can't remember the name of it anymore. But it was like second gear corner. You come out of that and you ship right where you shift third was a little road that went off to your right back up into the woods. So I'm driving around there on Saturday, and I just happened to glance over. I saw, like, maybe there's a person over there. I looked up that road just as I went by. And there was a guy in a thong, French bikini, I guess.
Huh.
A guy just bottomed. And when I looked over, he gave me the finger.
Yeah.
And then I was gone. You know, I was gone, like, immediately. And I thought, what the hell? Why did he do that? So I do a lap. I come back around. And, of course, I'm going to look. I look up there, and he's standing there. He gives me the finger.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, what the hell? Does he hate Porsches? Or does he hate racers? Is he mad because he lives back there in one of those little towns that's in the center of the track? And, you know, because you're in this little tiny baby. Yeah. So I never knew. He was there on Sunday also.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I'd seen him. And I just quit looking after a while because I'd think about it the whole lap. So we're back in. And so I'm telling Al, and he goes, oh, yeah, it was Blue. He gave me the finger. And I said, do you think he knew we were Americans and he hated us? Or because we were in Porsche? He said, I don't know. He said, I couldn't figure it out. But he gave me the finger every time. I said, me too. So we never knew.
That's universal, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I never heard of anybody else saying anything about him. Busby never said anything to me about him. So maybe I'm the only idiot, other than Al, that looked over there
to see
and get the international half a piece on him. That was the weirdest thing,
dude. I got up, and I was I had to go to Salzburg, France, and I was in Germany, and I was actually driving Vectra Opel, which is a little hot rod.
Yeah.
And I went across the border, and it's like, I don't know, 15 clicks in or something. I just stopped this little town. There was a restaurant there, and I don't speak French. Only thing I know is poisonous chicken, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I learned ham and cheese.
The guy bought. But anyway, the guy says to me, he goes, you are a medic. I go, yes. And he goes, you saved our ass during the war. Your food is free. So he gave me a free meal. But it was right at the German border right there. You know,
yeah.
So like 50,
yeah.
You know, Salzburg wasn't that far in, you know.
Right.
30 clicks or so. But anyway, I'll never forget that. I was like, really? Okay. I'm going to look for that. Well, he knew I couldn't read the menu, you know. But anyway, I got a kick out of that.
And I, you know, when I went back to Le Mans later on, and the French people were always nice to me. They were, you know, if you tried say anything in French, they would suddenly speak to you in English. And
that kind of blows you away, doesn't
the
it?
The fact that you would try, I think, was enough for them. At least in my case, it was. And I tried to learn, you know, a couple phrases, but I doubt that it sounded
like
anything.
Doc, with that mustache, when you keep it really tight like that, it looks like Inspector Clouseau.
That's one of my favorites. I was going for the Cary Grant or Graham Hill look. I wasn't going for a close up.
Well, there you go. It's a new perspective.
Yeah, thanks.
That's why the French were so. They liked you so much.
Listen, this guy's a class winner at Le Mans. You're telling him that he's Inspector Clouseau. I don't know about this.
Well, we know each other, okay?
Okay, all right.
It's fine. We do that to each other whenever we can.
Okay. Well, we don't want to have any fisticuffs here on the victory lane hour.
No.
And thank you once again to Ed and Doc for joining me and spinning a few tales. We have some more to come, so stay tuned, and we will see you in the near future, or at least have a chat with you. Thanks for being here. Take care. Bye.